This is a beautiful teaching hymn. Take time to be holy. We have to take time in our lives so that we can allow God's word to work in our lives to make change, to bring us to Christ. And after we've been brought to Christ, to continue to perfect us in Christ. This happens as we take time out of our busy schedules, and we take time and we dedicate some time to the Lord. Now, by the way, Satan doesn't want you to do that, right? Satan would love to fill your lives with everything imaginable, whether it be work, or whether it be Super Bowl Sunday, or whether it be ice fishing, or hunting, or needlework, or whatever. Satan would love to fill your time so that you don't have time, or you don't take time to be holy. But this hymn encourages us that we need to do that. I want to talk this morning about this kingdom parable from chapter 13 of Matthew. The kingdom of God is, of course, that place where he reigns. It's the eternal life that we have through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's where we hope to be. You're either in the kingdom of heaven or you're not. And those who are not are outside of salvation. And so Jesus teaches us about the kingdom because there's the things about the kingdom of heaven we can't understand on our own. We have to hear them from God. They're divine revelations. We look back in chapter 13. There are several parables here where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. And he begins by talking about the sower. You remember the sower and the seed? The sower sows the seed. Some of it fell on hard and rocky ground and it couldn't take root. You remember that? Some of the seed fell on ground, was overtaken by thorns, which is all the concerns of the world, and that seed died out. Some of the seed was eaten by birds. And some of the seed fell on good soil. You remember what happened to that seed? It took root. It sprang forth new life. You remember what it yielded? 100 times. 100 times. Well, so Jesus has told this parable of the sower, and it sounds pretty tough because, you know, of the 4 different types of seed he describes, only one kind of seed is going to take root. It's kind of like when Jesus described the broad path. He says the broad path leads to destruction. How many people are on it? Many people. Most people are on the broad path that leads to destruction. Narrow is that path that leads to salvation, and few will find it, Jesus said. Well, that's kind of discouraging. It's the truth, nevertheless. But now Jesus tells us these parables of the kingdom of heaven, and he uses this illustration of a mustard seed and yeast or leaven. I want to read these words again from Matthew 13, verses 31 through 35. For the benefit primarily of those who are listening to us on the radio, because they weren't with us when we read these verses earlier. Matthew 13, 31 through 35. The Bible says another parable Jesus put forth to the multitude, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable Jesus spoke to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. We talked earlier this morning about how good it is as we drive through these bleak winter days on icy roads and everything is frozen and trees are covered with snow, skies cloudy and gray. Sometimes when we get beautiful sky, it can be really pretty. But, you know, like this morning, it was a cold, kind of a bleak morning. And how good it is to look forward to spring. Well, what happens in spring? Well, the snow melts and the ice melts. But what else happens in spring? Grass puts forth new shoots. Green grass comes up in the fields and in the pastures. All the trees put forth green buds and they start turning green, right? What do we call that? New life. What would spring be like without new life? It would be dead. The snow would still melt, but the old dead brown grass would just turn to mud, and it would be so ugly. The snow would still melt, but without new life, the trees would be barren and dead. By the way, I've got one of those in my front yard, I think. I hate to say it. I lost an elm tree 2 years ago, got hit by some kind of a plague. It looked terrible. It was covered with all kinds of fungus, so the city came and cut it down. And then a dear friend in the congregation brought me a young oak tree, and we planted it, but last year it only put forth one leaf. I don't know. We'll see this spring if it puts forth any leaves. But you know, if that tree doesn't put forth any leaves, what is it? It's dead. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful truth about God's creation is that things have to keep growing as long as they live. It's true of the kingdom. It's true of your faith. It's true of the church. And that's what Jesus talks about in these two parables, these kingdom parables. Jesus says God is growing a faithful kingdom. Okay? He's growing a faithful kingdom. And by the way, let's say I were to buy 400 or 500 acres of land here in Roseau County. Does that make me a farmer? No. What have I got to do? I got to plow the ground. I got to put seed in the ground. I got to grow something. If I don't grow something, I'm a landowner, but I'm no farmer. Unless something grows, I'm not a farmer. Kind of reminds me, too, you know, my wife is from Kalispell. That's cattle country. They wear cowboy hats in Montana. I'm really apprehensive when we go visit there. I don't want to wear a cowboy hat. I think I'll just keep wearing my fedora because there's an old saying in Montana. You see some guy with a real fancy cowboy hat, you know what they say? All hat, no cattle, right? You can look like a cowboy. That doesn't make you a cowboy. You can own land, that doesn't make you a farmer. You've got to have life. You've got to be growing something. You can be a member of a church. You can have your name on the register of a church. And you can be all hat and no cattle. Because God is telling us in these two parables that faith is a growing thing. Faith grows. Living faith grows. Faith that is not growing is dying or dead. Jesus uses two analogies here, or two illustrations of the kingdom of heaven. The first one he uses is this mustard seed, which grows into a great tree. By the way, I did look this up. It turns out there are two varieties or species of mustard plants. One of them grows into a shrub about this big, about 3 or 4 feet tall, and yields lots of mustard seeds. But in the Middle East, they also have another genus of mustard that actually grows into a tree that grows so big you can ride a horse under the limbs of that tree. Huge. well, relative to mustard plants, big trees grow from that same seed, that mustard seed. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. Jesus talks about the mustard seed, and he talks about leaven, and both these things teach us about the kingdom of heaven and growing faith. And the first thing he teaches us with this mustard seed illustration is that growing faith produces visible results. And those results are huge compared to where they started from. So, you know, you can think also of Jesus, the Christ child, who came into this world as this tender little infant, absolutely helpless, right? A newborn babe is absolutely helpless. And from that child, God brought salvation to the world through Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, how many disciples were there? 120 maybe? We're thinking as we read the Bible, 120 disciples compared to the population of the Roman Empire? What is that? It's a little tiny seed. A little tiny seed. But what happened? What did God do with those 120 disciples? Well, it began on Pentecost through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter went out to the temple steps and preached his first sermon and brought 3,000 Jews to faith that day. By the time Acts chapter 2 is done, the church, the visible living church in Jerusalem, has over 5,000 members. Today, the church numbers about 2.5 billion people, maybe almost 3 billion people, almost half the planet. Now, we can get into discussions. How many of them are truly born-again believers and truly saved? Good discussions. But about almost 3 billion people on this planet hold on to some fashion of Christianity, the Christian faith. It's a pretty big tree from 120 dear souls, that tiny little mustard seed from which it all began. Pretty big church. We think of the millions upon millions of faithful Christians who've gone home to the Lord, and we think of the church triumphant in heaven. A pretty big tree sprung from that little tiny infant child born 2,000 years ago. God with us. So the kingdom of heaven is a growing church. A church has to keep growing, or it will die. If this is the last generation of the church, if we can't bring the good news, the gospel, to the next generation, then when this generation dies, that's the end of the church. So you see that Jesus is saying that God is creating the kingdom of heaven through a living and growing faith. It keeps growing. It has to keep growing. It's true of our congregation here at Roseau. Dear friends, if we're not planting the seeds, if we're not bringing the gospel and the law too when it's needed, then we will die. Because whatever stops growing dies. But Jesus points out how God can take something so small, something as small perhaps as your humble ability to share the word, and how he can use it in a mighty way, in a mighty and visible way to grow the kingdom of heaven. Lori and I had the benefit and the blessing of going up to Winnipeg here this Friday and Saturday to the Missions Festival up there. It's a very large church venue, and I don't know much about anything about the congregation. It was Church of the Rock up there in Winnipeg. Huge facility. Dozens and dozens of rooms and stuff. I think it might have been an old school or something at one time. There were probably 500 or more mission groups represented there, each one of which, you know, had a table and booth and material, and each one of those booths and their representative represented hundreds of people, hundreds of men and women that are out in the mission field spreading the gospel. We had 500 of those tables at that mission festival. There were the Christian Motorcycle Club was there. There was all the mission aviation groups there. There were children ministries there. There were Asian ministries there. There were African ministries. There were Muslim ministries. I counted 3 ministries to Native Americans. Native American ministries, which, by the way, is probably the mission field closest to home, if not counting Roseau itself. You know, we've got a huge mission field just south of us in the Red Lake Indian Reservation. Nevertheless, here we were at this church, and they described what's going on through the various speakers and the sessions, what's going on in the world. The Christian church is experiencing amazing growth right now. Amazing growth. The church in China is growing by baptized Christians at a rate of 5,000 to 6,000 a day. And this is the underground church. This is the persecuted church. Right now, it's estimated that there's about 125 million Christian Chinese, but by the next 10 years, they're estimating it's going to be 300 million Chinese Christians. And these are born-again, baptized Christians. They can't get enough gospel in China. They can't get enough people to share the gospel in China. They got lay people who have just one Bible are starting 10 and 12 churches in their region, underground churches, going from village to village to village throughout the week sharing the gospel. In Vietnam and in other parts of the Middle East, the people are crying out. They want to hear the word of God. And there's not enough workers to go, not enough people to tell the story. Interestingly enough, in the Middle East, the word of God is going forth with amazing power. A lot. I mean, I heard stories which I frankly was skeptical. I had a hard time believing it, the number of Muslim people coming to Christ. But I did hear one thing that I am particularly interested in, and that is that there was one mission group, one of the speakers, and they've got a mission to the Muslim populations, and you all know what's going on in Egypt, right? There's two opposing forces going on in Egypt. There's a freedom movement that wants to be free from a benevolent dictator, Mubarak, but there's also the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the dominant political power in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, is the group that founded Al-Qaeda. The Muslim Brotherhood founded the Taliban. The Muslim Brotherhood is dedicated to destroying Western civilization and Christianity. And the great fear is that when power is turned over in Egypt, if it's turned over too quickly, or if it turns over within the next 3 weeks, the power is going to go to the Muslim Brotherhood. So right now there's a Christian ministry which is gathering up tons and tons of Bibles and Sunday school material and scripture, and they're shipping it to Egypt and getting it in the door while the door is still open, because it's feared that in the next 3 weeks that door is going to close for some period of time. And whatever they can get into Egypt before that door closes, what will that be? That will be mustard seeds planted. Mustard seeds planted. So the church can continue to grow in Egypt. In China right now, we can't get Bibles into China. We can't get Bibles into North Korea except by, you know, small numbers, very secretively. But right now, we can get Christian literature, Bibles, and scripture into Egypt. But we may not be able to do that in 3 weeks. So here is this wonderful mission organization which is shipping tons of scripture into Egypt right now, getting those mustard seeds in there before the door closes. Now, why would we do that? Because we have faith that God works. And he can work through little things like this little mustard seed. And he can grow a great and mighty church and great and mighty faith. So God is growing his church in the world. But you know what else? Jesus speaks to in this parable of the mustard seed is he speaks about you. He speaks about your life. This mustard tree is a big visible tree. It's the visual fruit of this little tiny seed that was planted. And Jesus is also saying, as the word of God enters your heart. And you remember last week we talked about the other use Jesus had of this mustard seed. He said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you remember that? He said, you can cast this mountain into the sea. We talked about that last week. Now Jesus reminds us too that as faith is planted in your heart, as you know that sin will be judged, has to be judged, and as you come to know that Jesus died, that your sins can be removed from you, and as you receive that Savior with this little tiny weak faith, Jesus is saying that will grow just like this mustard tree, and people will be able to see it in your life. Your faith in Christ does not remain hidden. Your faith in Christ is not something that, you know, you just keep at home and or you save for Sunday morning. Your faith in Christ has to grow. It has to develop. It has to bear fruit. It has to. Just like that mustard seed has to put down roots. It has to germinate. It has to grow into a tree. If it doesn't, it's dead. And so Jesus reminds us, even that small faith that we each one start with at the very beginning, oh God, save me, a sinner. Jesus promises you that will grow. As long as your faith lives, that will grow. And people will see it. They will see it in your life. And as they see it in your life, they will also see it in this congregation. As each one of us is the visual manifestation of the fruit, this town, Roseau, will see it. They will see it here. It can't be hidden. But then he tells us also he wants us something else he wants us to know. That is true. The kingdom, that is a truth about the kingdom of heaven. But then Jesus says, I'm going to tell you something else about the kingdom of heaven. You don't go out and build a tree, right? I mean, you don't go out, dig a hole in the ground, put a bunch of 2x4s in there, nail them all together, go get some leaves and nail them onto the 2x4 and build yourself a tree. That doesn't happen that way. How does it happen? It happens just like this woman who takes a little bit of yeast and she folds it into the dough. And then that yeast spreads through the entire dough until it's completely permeated. You can't stop it. You can't see it, but you can't stop it. And so the woman, when she kneads that in there and stuff, and then she puts it in pans and she puts it on top of the old cook stove or whatever is warm, what happens? That bread begins to rise and that yeast germinates or ferments in there and that bread grows. The kingdom of heaven is like that, Jesus said. It's something that God does in you. It's not something that you visibly work to do. It's not some kind of works righteousness. It's the invisible power of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. That's what grows your faith. When you take time out in the morning, and you start with something very small. I'm going to sit down with God's word for 5 minutes. Oh, well, what can happen in 5 minutes? Come on. Right? I mean, I'm going to be working all day with rough and tumble people or whatever it is I'm going to do. What's 5 minutes going to do? Same as that little mustard seed. The same as that leaven in the bread. That word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to permeate your thoughts and your life and your heart and will grow in you. Take time to be holy. Take time. It doesn't take, You know, you don't have to go to seminary to be holy. I want you kids to go to Bible school. You don't have to go to Bible school to be holy. You just have to take a little bit of God's word every day, a little bit of time in prayer every day, and God will leaven your life. He will leaven your heart, and faith will grow. God does this by his secret and divine power of the Holy Spirit. And so I would close by saying that Jesus is telling us we can put our trust in small things. The Word of God, time in prayer, daily devotions. You don't cause the seed to germinate, but you got to plant the seed. You don't cause the dough to rise. You know, a lady doesn't get an air pump out there and stick it into the dough and pump up air into it. Yeast does that. But she's got to fold the yeast into the dough. You should be grateful, as I am grateful, that you can put your trust in small beginnings. God's will be done. You remember our catechism, by the way? In the catechism, there's an explanation of the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember the second petition of the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? God's kingdom will come whether we ask it and pray for it or not. And this is a truth that every person must know. God's kingdom will come by itself. What are we praying for then? We are praying that God's kingdom will come into my heart. Thy kingdom come to me. I want to be in God's kingdom. You want to be in God's kingdom. God's will be done. His kingdom is coming. And his kingdom is growing. First, in every believing heart. And second, in the church of saved souls. God is growing a faithful kingdom. His kingdom is coming. Is that mustard seed growing in you? Is that leaven working in your life? May God grant you the kingdom of heaven. May the kingdom of heaven come to your heart through Christ Jesus our Lord.